has joined.
Good evening.
You're the first to arrive.
Oh, okay.
You pick up all the shingles, Martha?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, were you able to pick up all the shingles?
I took a day off. It was extremely hot. So I just kind of slept in this morning and just relaxed. But I have to hit it hard tomorrow, so.
Yeah, sometimes we have that need, so.
Yeah. We've been at it for almost 3 weeks, so, and we're still just beginning the repairs to the house. So.
And I don't understand because I haven't experienced it, but I can imagine it.
Yeah, well, we were very blessed. There's so many people that can't live in their homes because it was pretty much demolished, but
right.
It was just the front end.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the government is there to provide funding.
Well, I have insurance, so, you know, the government is picking up a lot of debris and helping those that truly, absolutely need it, you know.
Right.
But, we're pretty much doing most of the work ourselves, you know.
And you said you have to actually hurricane insurance?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I come from California, and almost nobody ever has earthquake insurance. It's just too expensive.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not earthquake. It's hurricane.
No, I realize that there's a difference, but it's the same idea. You know, you live in an area where hurricanes are prominent as destructive forces.
Mm-hmm.
And California, it's earthquakes, but people cannot afford earthquake insurance unless it's required by the mortgage company, because they won't give you the mortgage.
Okay.
Because you live right on top of a default.
You have a choice, right? Well, you have a choice to obtain insurance or not. You have flood insurance, hurricane insurance. It is up to you to do that. Now, if you have a mortgage, of course, they almost dictate that you have to have some sort of insurance they would provide,
right,
and you charge you for it. But I've always obtained insurance because we live in the area that hurricanes are every year. You know, we're at the peak of hurricane season right now. So it helps, you know.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we are. Our adjuster came out yesterday and it was a good report. So we'll get the repairs send it to, and they'll, you know, provide what they need to provide on their end.
Right.
But it's just, it's just massive cleanup. And again, you can't just jump in and start doing things, especially if you have insurance, because I have to look at everything, all the damage. And so we have contractors in the wings waiting to say, let's go, you know, but we have to wait till the insurance process is there. But we have it. We have the roof covered, and hopefully we don't have any leaks when it does rain. And then we have the, you know, my kitchen, living room, and garage. Portions of the ceiling fell in, you know, so we have all that patched up with plywood at this point, keeping the heat out of the house and you know, in the attic. So we have all that massive repair. And then part of my kitchen, the south side wall, the drywall has to come out, the cabinets have to come out, and repair the water that got behind the wall. And so that has to take place as well. So, and a lot of trees down. We had lots of trees that were snapped or pulled out by the rain. That needs that cleanup as
well.
But there's a lot of repairs.
Has joined.
Good evening.
We have two people for the first time in a few days, so.
And Hannah's back home. She came back today. They just got their utilities back yesterday.
I'm trying to keep in touch with everybody, and it's very difficult for people.
Yeah, but she did come home. I think she sent me a text. I think they're home now.
Well, let us begin. We have a lot of meditations to make up. But tonight's class is a Zohar class, so we will do a section of the Zohar for the parasha of Vayelech. But please join me in saying the Anna Bekoah. Anna Bekoah, Gedulat Yemincha, Tati Berurah. Aleph Bet Gimel, Yutaf Sadi. Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbeinu. Aharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Devavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yutkav Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sikatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Sadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Bero Tufa Nael Adata Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Penei Zohre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodeya Talumot Shin Kufav Tadiyuta. The last meditation for this particular series of meditations was on the 13th of Elul. Today is the 20th of Elul. So we're going to be going through the meditations from the 14th. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. Hashem Yehudu Chabarichu Ishkinte Bikhilu Urkimu Uthilu Uthilu Urkimu Leachda Lashem Yudhe Bavate the Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Elohino Elena Maaseya Deinu Kunane Elena Maaseya Deinu Kunanehu. The 14th of Elul, the meditation. There is a paradox between the transcendent aspect of Hashem and the immanent aspect of Hashem. We cannot see Hashem and live, but we can emulate his traits, including the transcendent aspect we call holiness. What does it take to be holy in your mind, in your life? Reflect on this question and record your answers for later review over the next 60 days. Life is a paradox. If you want to be loved, give love. If you want appreciation, appreciate others. And this is the best way to get what you really want. This spiritual truth is best practiced by giving to others first what it is you truly want. Do you know what you truly want? Verbalize it. Now find a way to give it to someone else first. The meditation for the 15th of Elul. 15th is the full moon. Sensitivity is today's motto. Look closely at the people around you. Beyond the surface, ask yourself, what are they really feeling? Let's be sensitive to ourselves. What are you truly feeling right now? Where are you feeling a lack? How do you want your life to change next year for the better? Record your answers for review during the month of Tishrei. The meditation for the 16th of Elul. Today is the full moon. That means all the energy of the sun filtered through the Virgo aspect of looking at details. This is available for you to see yourself. What do you see? What do you feel needs to be changed about yourself? Do you love yourself? In what way can you change yourself to be more lovable? Record what you want to change about yourself for later review. Meditate today on cleansing the past and thereby changing the future. Your meditation should start with picturing a specific incident from the past and turning it into a blessing through Teshuvah. The meditation for the 17th of Elul. Do an act of sharing without making it known that you are the one responsible. Do you want to do something like that again? Why do you want to do it again? Why do you not want to do it again? We're told that the great 15th century Kabbalist, the Ari, could read people's faces. And many people, when they would pass him on the street, would cover their faces because they felt that he saw past the mask and they were ashamed. Ask yourself, if the Ari was walking the earth today, would you want him to see your face? Would you be ashamed also? To what extent is your face a mask for feelings that you want to hide? To what extent does it reveal your inner core of holiness, your inner core of happiness, your inner core of serenity? Consider how you can match your outer face to your inner face and record these thoughts for later review. The meditation for the 18th of Elul. So how do you get unstuck? By sharing and thinking of others, think how you can help. How can you be more sensitive? Maybe it's as simple as lending an ear and really listening to someone. When was the last time you listened 100% to someone? Call a friend and ask them to listen to you. What would you say? What do you want to say? Your meditation for the 19th of Elul. Kabbalists stress the importance of never forgetting a good deed someone has done for you. Recall someone who helped you out in a major way, but with whom you no longer speak. Find a way to do something nice for them. If it isn't possible, then send them loving thoughts. It is appropriate to learn what teshuvah truly means. In Hebrew, it means tashuv plus the letter hey. Tashuv means to return, while the letter hey can be a metaphor for Hashem or the physical world. Returning means that you have not made a wrong turn, but are returning home to the place you should have never left. Today, reflect on the meaning of teshuvah. Record your thoughts about that place that you want to return to. Is it the home you knew as a child? Or is it a new home you plan to build? Perhaps you want to return to your own divine essence. Where will you return? To what will you return? The 20th of Elul, the meditation. Purify your personal space and your private life today by paying close attention to the people you hang out with and the places you hang out in. You might need to reevaluate who you let into your life. Also, you might need to evaluate why you have let these people and these places into your life and into your space. After the sin of the golden calf, Moshe did not just return to Hashem. He first took actions of cleansing. First, the people involved were removed and punished. Then he reestablished order in the camp. And finally, he motivated the people to and move towards. Teshuvah. We need to learn from Moses that this process also applies to our own mistakes. Pick one small mistake that you have made. Now plan how you can take similar actions to Moshe. Who are the people and other entities involved? How can you remove them? Do you need to be punished? Have you established order in your life as a consequence of realizing your mistake? How would you do that? What is your sharing reason for doing teshuvah? Tonight is actually the 21st of Elul, and so the meditation for tonight. Do you love yourself? Don't be afraid to appreciate yourself and the uniqueness that is you. If the light created you and put all this energy into you, you must be something special. Reflect upon and record areas that you consider yourself unique. Also, record the areas of your life that you consider yourself less than unique. Are there any areas of your life you want to change to become unique? The Midrash teaches that when Moshe was arguing with Hashem in order to save the nation after the sin of the golden calf, he persuaded Hashem to open the gate of tears. Our sages teach that we can damage the body. We can damage the psyche. We can never damage the soul. Dirty it, perhaps, but never damage it. Also, the sages teach that tears bathe the soul. Where in your life this past year did you damage your body, damage your psyche, or dirty your soul? That it seems there is no undoing it. Where in your life do you need to cry in order to bathe your soul? What blocks you from crying? In the other meditations that we do, the one where we were speaking of what it meant to be holy and become a mensch prior to becoming holy, and what does it mean to be a mensch? We had reached the eighth day of the Lul. So tonight we're starting with the ninth of the Lul. Rabbeinu Yonah adds that where there is no greater than you, no one greater than you in wisdom, try to be a man. Do not refrain from working to become even wiser. Even if there is no one as wise as you in the entire city, and even if there is no one as wise as you in the entire generation, you should view yourself as if you had lived in the time and place of the great sages of the Talmud. This is an unwritten commentary on that paragraph, but it's a very deep paragraph. But the real issue, the real parallel, people strive for secular knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that, because secular knowledge is a subset of Torah knowledge. But when you realize that there is a human being, some other person in the world, who is wiser than you, and you strive to become wiser by following that man, who might be a philosopher, who might be a scientist, but he's clearly a man like you who has worked and reached the zenith of his career, his worldview. And people try to emulate that worldview. Whereas the paragraph that I just read is explaining you're not following men. You're striving to become and follow Hashem. Even as a man, you can reach the zenith of what mankind can reach. But if you're following Hashem, there is always more growth for you that becomes possible. I'm continuing in the meditation. Rabbeinu Yonah adds that where there is no one greater than you in wisdom, try to be a man. Do not refrain from working to become even wiser. Even if there is no one as wise as you in the entire city, and even if there is no one as wise as you in the entire generation, you should view yourself as if you had lived in the time and place of the great sages of the Talmud, and strive to become like them. Even if you should manage to reach their level, imagine that you are standing among the prophets. Imagine that you can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. When will you reach their level of piety and their level of wisdom? In this way, you will never neglect your learning, and you will refine your midot, your attributes, your personality, and your character traits. Daily, because you gain more wisdom and become like an overflowing spring. Keep on trucking. Please note that the Mishnah above uses the plural of Enosh to describe man. In describing the unique qualities of humankind, four terms are used. Adam refers to the quality of mind and intellect. Ish to the quality of heart and emotion. Enosh to weakness in either the intellect or the emotion, or both. Gever is a word for mankind also, who overcomes their inner weakness and removes obstacles and hindrances to the attainment of an intellectual or an emotional quality. As an example, Gever works upon Enosh to elevate him to the plane of Ish, or Adam. Since it is possible to turn even Enosh into Ish, or Adam, it is obvious that Enosh already possesses the potential qualities found in Ish and Adam. Contemplate if a Tzaddik has the qualities of both an Adam and an Ish. Does a Mensch have both of these characteristics? What are you in this scale of self-evaluation? Meditation for the 10th of Elul. Okay, you've done real well so far and reached a state of piety based on the firm footing of a solid education. Don't plaster that status over the community. The state of piety is also a state of humility, but modesty in this sense should not be taken to extreme. A place where there are no people, strive to be a person. Where there are leaders, there is no need to push to the top. But where leadership is missing, one should not hide one's acquired wisdom. Instead, it must be shared for the benefit of the community. Hasidic master Rabbi Mendel of Kotz once referred to a certain rabbi as a tzaddik in pelts, a righteous person in a fur coat. The Kotzker explained, when it is winter and it's freezing cold, there are two things one can do. One can build a fire, or one can wrap oneself in a fur coat. In both cases, the person is warm. But when one builds a fire, all who gather around will also be warmed. With the fur coat, the only one who is warmed is the one who wears the coat. So it is regarding spiritual warmth. One can be a tzaddik in a fur coat. Contemplate, are you building a fire with your Torah study, or do you wear a fur coat? The 11th of Elul. My father, the Rebbe, once told me, related Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak of Lubavitch, that during the Seder, you should think to yourself, I want to be a mensch, and Hashem will help. And this applies especially at the time when the doors are open. Don't ask for material success, he concluded, but for spiritual growth. Meditation for the 12th of Elul. When advising young couples, Lev Simcha, the heart of joy, would refer to this Mishnah in place where there are no men, means to maintain the high standards of modesty you adopted while under the chuppah. Even within the privacy of your home, conduct yourselves modestly, although no one is observing your behavior. This point is further stressed in a Hasidic explanation of a verse in the Torah. The verse is Ki Tivneh Bayit Kadash, Yasfitita Miakeh Gagecha. The translation, when you build a new house, you must make a railing for your roof. The Lubavitcher Rebbe notes that this law can be interpreted to apply to a newlywed couple about to embark on the exciting challenge of building a household. The Torah counsels a couple that they are commencing a new phase of their lives with new responsibility and tasks that they have never yet had to face. This new and intensified focus in life, in the physical world, is a descent relative to their previous single lives, and they are therefore poised to fall from their previous spiritual level unless they take preventive measures. They therefore do as all men in training, make a railing, meaning to actually undertake new spiritual safeguards to their observance of the Torah's mitzvot, not relying on their previous ones alone, maintaining and enhancing their study of the Torah and observance of its mitzvot, ensures that the euphoria of the wedding day continue throughout their married life. Contemplate. If you're married, then follow the advice above and ask yourself, what additional mitzvot observances are you able and willing to do? If you're single, consider how the additional observance you take on will bring you to a higher soulmate when you do marry. If you are a widow or a widower, consider that the additional mitzvot will elevate your deceased spouse so that you may reunite if you wish, and also keep you separated if that is what you wish. If you are still a child or a teenager, consider how the additional mitzvot will benefit the world as well as yourself. The meditation for the 13th of Elul. The Ben Ish Chai writes in his Chasadei Avot that there is a great obligation to study Torah and do mitzvot at all times. However, this obligation is even greater during the times when people don't do this, like in the afternoon or in the days before festivals, or on Chol HaMoed, and other times of lesser consciousness. The problem is when we neglect study below, we fail to give the strength to the angels above, who are aroused and inspired by our learning. In a place where there are no men, means that it is important for us to busy ourselves learning at those very times when most people are not. For this brings down the supernal flow below that unfortunately is lacking due to our negligence on this earth plane. Contemplate, in a place where there are no men may indicate heaven or hell. Then spirits of men are not considered men. How will your accepting additional spiritual work? How will this help the angels? And how will it help the spirits of men? A meditation for the 14th of Elul. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov once remarked, "What must a man do in the world? Nor davenen lernen davenen. Only praying and studying Torah and praying." Rabbi Nachman's wisdom number 286. Be a mensch. During World War I, one of the few places where the people of Uman could hear the news of the front was in the Breslov Synagogue. One day, Rabbi Herschel of Tepetlik came to Uman to do business and entered the shul to hear the news. He saw several groups and went to them to hear their conversations. But he was mystified with the people he found there. One group was speaking about learning, the other about Hitbovidut, another about Tikkun Chatzot, a fourth about prayer, and so forth. No one spoke about the war. Isn't anyone here interested in the news from the front? He asked. This is the front in the war against the evil inclination, the Hasidim replied. Rabbi Herschel was so impressed, he became a Breslover Hasid, organized an underground school when the communists began to close the schools, and made mikvahs when they began to close them also. He died in the dead of winter, and one of his close friends immersed him in the river before burial. When asked why he took such a chance in the freezing weather, his friend said, "You know what kind of a mensch Rabbi Herschel was?" We are also in a period where we need to be reading Bereshit. Genesis chapter 36, starting with verse 31. We need to read this daily. It's best to read in the morning, but it's been difficult because what we are doing in the morning is the slichot, which is taking us the full hour and sometimes longer. Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kerenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kerenehu. Ve'ele Hamlachim Maasher Malchu, Ve'eretz Edom Lifnei Melach Melech Livnei Yisrael. Vayim loch be'edom ba'ela ben be'or v'shem iro din chava. Verse 33. We are reading about the eight kings of Edom before there was a king in Israel. Vayamad pala vayim loch Tachta Yovav ben Zerah mi Batra v'yamat Yovav v'yim lo tachtav kusham me'eretz ha'temani v'yamat kusham v'yim lo tachtav Adar ben Badad Hamake et Midyan Biste Moav Shemi Roavi Vayamat Hadad Vayim Loch Tachtav Tamla Mimas Reka Vayamat Shamla Vayim Loch Tachtav Sheumer Chovot Hanahar Vayamat Shaul Vayim Lokata Baal Hanan Ben Achbor Vayamat Baal Hanan Ben Achbor Vayim Lokata Hadar Vashem Iro Ba'u V'Shem Ishto Me'etavel Bat Madred Bat Me'zahav. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoa we say in a whisper. So our class today is from the Parasha of Vayelech. It's from the Zohar commentary. And it is section 1. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, good shabari, who ishkin te, bifkilu, urchimu, ukilu, ukilu, urchimu. Le'afda, L'shem Yud he, bavav he, v'yichuda, shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Elena Masei Adeno Kodanei Elena Masei Adeno Kodaneihu. Vayelech Moshe V'yadaber Et Hadvarim Ha'ele El Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Chizki HaPatach Molich Limin Moshe Zeroah Tifarto bokea mayima mecham. Wegomer zakayim inun Yisrael dekud shabariku. Itre behu ugin itre behu kara lon benim bukrim. Tadishin achim kayv yakol. Nachad l'daira imchon. Ahi dikir v'yasu li mikdash v'shatanti v'toch hamuva'a le'atkana l'huke gavna d'leila v'shari alayhu Shiva Anani Anane Ikar Shekin Taya Azla Kamaihu Hahidiki Vahashem Oleg Lichnechem Yomam. And Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. Rabbi Hizkiah opened with the verse that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, dividing the water before them. Blessed are Israel, that the Holy One, blessed be He, favored them. Since He favored them, He called them holy, firstborn sons and brethren. He, so to speak, went down to dwell with them. This is the meaning of, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And He wished to establish them in the likeness of above. And He caused the seven clouds of glory to rest over them. And His Shekhinah goes before them, as it is written. And Hashem went before them by day. My commentary. The name Hizkiah translates as strength of Yah, or Yah is strong. The gematria of Hizkiah is 130, which relates to Mount Sinai, but also to the Hebrew word sulam, which is a ladder, which represents how to climb and step down as well. Hashem wanted the people to grow constantly higher and larger so that He will constantly be stretched to share more energy with the people of Israel. Pasuk 2. Tilat achin kadishin azlin benayhu umaninun Moshe acharon umiryam uvizkutehom yahavlon kudshabarichu miatnan ilayin koyomo Yacharon la adu anane yikar me Yisrael v'hauk muha Yacharon deroa yamina di Yisrael hawa Shema Haknani Melech Erad Ale Gomer Ki Ba Yisrael Derech Ha'atarim Gomer Bebar Nashti Azil Veladiro Avisami Garmeya Lekol Atar Ukdain Vayelahim Israel Yoshve Vaish Bev Me Menu Shevi Begin Dehawo Biladero Yamina Lachate Acharon Deroa Yamina Begufa Hawa Vialda Kitiv Molik Limin Bishe Zaro Atifarto Umani Hu Acharon. Three holy siblings went among them. They are Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. It is for their merit that the Holy One, blessed be He, gave them supernal gifts. Throughout Aaron's days, the clouds of glory did not move away from Israel. We have established that Aaron is the right arm of Israel, as it is written. The Canaanite, the king of Arad, heard tell that Israel came by way of Atarim. The way of Atarim means that Israel were like a man walking without an arm, supporting himself in each and every place. As Atarim means places, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. This happened because they were without the right arm. Come and see. Aaron was the right arm of the body, which is Tiferet. Hence it is written that caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses. Which is that? It is Aaron, the right arm of Tiferet. My commentary. We are taught that Moses is a chariot for Netzach. And then here it says, he, Moses, is Tiferet, while Aaron is Chesed, and Moshe is Dat. How do we understand these different aspects of our Creator and the human beings of Moshe and Aaron? Life is a process. Moshe started at one level and grew to another. Yet always Moshe is the right arm of Moshe, and Aaron always is assisting Moshe. As Moshe grew from one level of consciousness to another, Aaron was always the prophet of Moshe, and also the right arm of Moshe. Wherever Moshe is, Aaron is his prophet, meaning his malchut, and also the right arm, meaning his strength, and the memory of loving kindness. Moshe is not complete without Aaron. Moshe is a person, and Aaron is his mouth. Moshe is a person, and Aaron is his strength. Pasuk 3. Vayelech Moshe, my vayelech, le'an ha'alach ela vayelech, gufa bela deroa kada'a. Vayelku below, Koach lifne rodef, Hamit Aharon, Deroa yamina, Uva ale istalka gufa. He asked what is meant by went in and Moses went. Whither did he go? And he answers, went means he went like an armless body. As in, and the right arm died and the body, which is Moses, wanted to go away because of it. My commentary. We learn here that even Moses felt grief. Pasuk 4. Lechem min ha-shamayim Kewandi ata Yehoshua Talit. Benahir li alma, kewanda istalak Moshe, itkenash kufadishim sha. Benapi kufadisihara. Throughout Moses' life, Israel ate bread from heaven. When Joshua came, it is written, and the manna ceased on the morrow. And they did eat of the corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. What is the difference between them, the manna and the corn of the land? It is that the manna is from above, from heaven, which is there on tin, while that of the bread of the land is from below, the Malchut called land. As long as Moses was alive, the body of the sun, which is Zeranpin, ruled and shone on the world. Once Moses departed, the body of the sun was gone, and the body of the moon came out, which is Malchut, the aspect of Joshua. Thus the bread from heaven stopped, and they ate of the corn of the land, which is Malchut. My commentary. In some places, the term corn is translated as grain of the land. We learn from this Zohar that when we eat physical food, we need to activate the spiritual level of that food so that we can feed the soul energy that has no part of Satan. The difference between manna and the corn of the land is waste products. We will eventually learn to produce food and energy that has no waste products. Our chemistry sciences always tells us there is waste and energy loss as you transform one thing to another. This will not always be true. When we learn to rise above the physical world, this will be true. Just as the electron changes levels of energy, waste will be utilized by all aspects of physicality. It's the end of section one. Does anybody have any questions? We have Slichot tomorrow at our 7 o'clock West Coast time class. And we have a 2 o'clock, or excuse me, an 11 o'clock class tomorrow where we will read the Shir HaShirim. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Unless there are questions. And even if there are questions, Shalom Gadol.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Malka.
Okay, to be a match to, or to become a man when you don't have a male part present, is that climbing to the elevation of Chokhma? Do we, at that point, if a female, talking from a female concept, do at that point do we possess male and female souls? I mean, we always have a male and female soul, but if the men are not present, you become like a man. So that means that we have to do all the rituals in our praying that a man does to become a man.
You're confusing some things, so let me explain. Okay. The English language is a physical language, and it's inadequate to describe spiritual concepts. The word in Hebrew that is being translated as man in all of those meditations, or even in this Zohar, that word is Adam. And Adam means male and female in unity. So there is no condition where the female it means for a mensch, a place where there are no men, it means there are no people, whether it's male or female, who are living up to the potential of Adam. It means a place where nobody is striving to reach that. So in the world of angels, there are no men, because Adam reaches a higher level than the angels when he reaches his potential. But his potential includes her potential. I hope that clarifies it.
Yeah, that clarified it. Thank you.
Any other questions? Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful evening.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.